What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that is a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
I want to wrap up this series today with the third installment of culture. Not wrap up, but we're gonna do some more. But in terms of our vision statement, we'll be at the end of the vision statement on today, which is to change the world. Amen. And so it's so crazy that the Lord knew that we would be in this building at this time when we planned through this series on last year. And you know, sometimes God changes our series throughout the year, but this one was at the right time. Amen. And so over the last few weeks, we've been unpacking that. What does it mean to find family? What does it mean to discover purpose? Today, we want to learn what it means to change the world. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm a world changer. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I hope you are too. Y'all didn't say that petty enough, amen. I thought I had a petty congregation. But I love this, though, and I love to start with this anchor verse. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 and 14, it says, you are the salt of the earth. And then a little bit later, it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, right? So you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Now, we've gone over this quote every week, but I want to continue to show it because culture is so important. And I say this all the time, but culture, you're going to have a culture in any organization, whether you set it or not. So I'm just a firm believer that I may as well be in the driver's seat of establishing the culture. Some of you live in cultures that you don't like because you have not been intentional in determining what you are trying to build, right? So some of you are in a culture in your household that you don't like. I don't like the culture of this house. Well, guess what? Develop one, right? Same thing as it relates to, as many of you know, I'm a CEO of a credit union. I had to be intentional about what type of culture we wanted to have in our organization so that we could be successful. Here at the church, we have a culture here. Right? It is pretty phenomenal. I love what we do here. It's phenomenal. We have a certain amount of edge to us. We know that we're sophisticated ratchet. Amen. We are as ratchet as they come. And that's fine. That works for our church, right? Some of y'all don't want to be real about it, but you know you ratchet, okay? Some of y'all are like, I wear it as a badge of honor. But a culture carrier is someone who has intimate knowledge of the company values that can have an intelligent discussion about why their company does what it does. They are ambassadors for their company and passionately work to promote the company values in their day-to-day dealings with clients and coworkers. Culture carriers, you, in order to carry a culture, you have to first be familiar enough. You have to have firm knowledge. And if you ask anybody in Love Alive what our vision is as a church, they're going to rattle that off really fast. Find family, discover purpose, change the world, right? What we've been doing over the last few weeks is making sure you have a full understanding of how we execute that. How we do that? How do you become a part of that so that you're not just saying, because we've all been in situations before where maybe we had the answer key to the test, so we had the study guide or whatever. So we knew the answer, but we didn't kind of know the why, right? Especially in math, all right? Now, I like math a lot, all right? Most of y'all in the room don't like math, right? Say amen. Amen. I know it. It's always like 70% of the room that don't like math, amen. All right? Y'all just like art, okay? I know. P.E. P.E. Give me P.E. I could dress out and do something. All right. So most people don't like math. So you could look at the answer for a math problem, but you might not be able to solve it because you don't know the steps for how we got there. So same thing about just knowing the vision and really understanding the culture, right? You have to understand how we get this done, how we get there, what are the functionalities to make it happen. Change, we're talking about change the world, change agents for the kingdom. Change is to make or become different, right? So if we are going to change the world or change our city, then we are saying that we accept the responsibility to make us or become different. We want to make something different, right? We are difference makers, if you want to define it that way, as a change agent. Change agent is a person from inside or outside the organization who helps an organization transform itself by focusing on such matters as organizational effectiveness, improvement, and development, right? I can tell you, as a top leader, change agents, they do come internally and externally. I was talking to a group of people one day, and I was telling them I have a leadership strategy and how I build leadership teams, right? And it works. So I always believe in developing up and recruiting from out. And it is a good combination to move something forward. Why so? We talking about culture, right? So if you develop everybody up, everybody get used to seeing one perspective, right? And you can cause a stunt in your growth or progression because you don't have new and fresh perspective. Now, if everybody is from the outside and everybody bringing in fresh perspective, nobody has history. So there is a strategy for building leadership that says we need both history and progressive thought, new perspective and tried and true. And when we do that, then, right, so change agents can come internally. And I'm not just talking about leadership today. Everybody can be a change agent, but I'm just giving you a peek into the mind of how this can work. When you are ready to shift a culture, right, when you're ready to shift the culture, move a culture, you do have to usher in change agents. Our church has been a change agent in the city. We are a culture shifting church, right? We are on the pulse of a lot of movement in the city because we know that God called us to bring something different here. One of the things that I talked about in the previous weeks is that it has been important to us to not be like any other church in the city. It's not knocking any church. I believe that every church that God calls, every church that God calls, let me say that. I want to say every church, amen, because some of them God ain't called, all right? And that's why, like, you know, when you go to ride down the street and you see 30 churches on the same street and 10 people walk out of each of them, they need to be one church because they ain't doing nothing different, right? But when God calls a church and when God has established something, I believe that there is a unique assignment and identity that God wants functioning through that body. Right? And so as a body, it is our goal to make sure that we understand the uniqueness of our call and to live that out. If we're going to be just like the church down the street, we should just join them. Right? I know I would say a lot of unpopular things, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm just trying to tell the truth, you know. I told y'all last week how I was in a group with a group of pastors a couple of weeks ago, and I just straight up told them, I said, you know, as it relates to my call, my assignment, how God told me to do it, I don't care what you think. And then I turned it around and I said, and you shouldn't care what I think. Because the problem is too many of you are coming in these rooms and becoming the same version of each other. And how can I be the next big church planner who does it just like the other one? I don't care what you think. Because I understand if God has called me to be a change agent, then there's something unique in me to shift something. The same thing of each and every one of you in here. God's called you to be a change agent. You're in this body. He's given us a similar DNA, right, to be a family together, but he's given us a uniqueness so that we can each play our unique role in making it happen. There's a whole scripture that talks about there's many members of the body, but each member of the body has its function. And the problem comes when the eye is jealous of the ear because the eye has the power to see, but it wants to hear. The ear is jealous of the hand because the ear has the power to hear, but it want to grab stuff, right? And so what we have to understand is that there is a uniqueness to each of our roles. Now, salt and light are change agents. When we talk about the scripture, salt and light are change agents. Once they are inserted in food, are into darkness, right? Change is more than inevitable. As a matter of fact, it is immediate. We change the world by inserting ourselves into society and infusing life into the world. Here's what I love. Now, when we talk about salt, we all from Louisiana, right? I know a few of y'all moved down here and then y'all just got used to eating here, all right? And when you go back home, you're going to realize that that was foolishness what you were eating back home. Because every time I leave, I'm like, what is this that y'all don't know how to do nothing? I need to bring to, you then don't ask them for hot sauce. And they, The stuff that they bring you for hot sauce, I'm like, cut it out. This is just a mess, right? I just got back from Wisconsin, and bless their heart, bless their heart. Somebody say, bless their heart. Y'all, I tell you what, I learned a couple of years ago, I went up there, and so I had to go to this lunch, and they had like this cafeteria where they had different things you could order. And so they were like, in one of the lines, they said, you can get the Cajun pasta. The Cajun pasta. Okay. I'm already knowing that I'm setting myself up, you know. Most times when I travel, I always say, tell me about the food, and I need you to know I'm from Louisiana. I get the Cajun pasta. Why did they have Seasonal on that Cajun pasta? This is not Cajun. My tongue is not burning. I'm not blowing my nose. This is not Cajun, okay? Y'all tried it. But the thing about food is that whenever you insert salt or seasoning, it instantly gives it a different flavor. And you can tell when that ingredient is not present, right? Because it's necessary for it to have some good flavor, right? And a lot of times, even as it relates to society, as it relates to local community issues or worldwide issues, we want to see change, but we just want to talk about it. We go to social media and, but what are we? I tell you what, if you notice with my social media, probably in the last year or so, I've shifted away. I know the topics that I need to speak about, but I'm not talking in social media all the time because I'm busy doing stuff, actual stuff that's changing community and doing worldwide change. And so we got to get past what we say and think about what we do. Change agents don't just speak. Now, there are those that have come first to speak. There are prophetic voices that announce, right? And sometimes we get it mixed up because we think prophetic voices only come through the church, but I believe God sends prophecy in many different ways. He sends voices that'll speak something. They don't even know that they've been used by God sometimes, right? He'll send a voice to speak, but then there always has to be those who are willing to act if we're going to realize the change. Now, Jesus didn't say that we could be salt. Come on, you know another preacher in the house. He didn't say you could be the salt of the earth. He said you are, meaning I've already created you this way. I've already fashioned you as such. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So you were born to change the world. Everybody, we talked about it last week. Everybody came into this earth with a purpose. And every day that we wake up, it's God reminding us that that purpose has not expired yet. And what you have to do is get busy making sure that you're living out that purpose so that this change could actually happen. So the biblical basis for this is found in Matthew 28, where Jesus commissioned the church to change the world. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you, what? Always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus not only told them to be change agents, he instructed them to actually recruit more. That's a whole thing that we need to know. Even as it relates to being a part of a body, we are called to serve within the body, but we're also called to still gather others to come and be a part of the body. It's a great commission. And even as it relates to being a part of the body, it ain't even talking about this church. Some people, God will use you to win the Christ that they're not a fit for this church. And you'll be great at telling the other, some of y'all won't be great. You're like, I really don't know where to point you because I like my church the best, right? But you got to be okay with the fact that some people might not be a good fit for here. Know another great church to send them to. But we should be gatherers, all right? So what do we mean when we say we value changing the world? I want to start with this scripture, and I'm going to go over these things real quick and we'll be done. And we see this scripture in Mark, the 5th chapter. It says, the herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Here's the first thing that we want you to know here is that we value active faith. We value active faith. The scripture tells us that faith without works is what? So it's not enough for us to say what we believe, but we have to actually do something in order for us to demonstrate that faith. Also, we believe that in serving God and living out our faith, we have to be moving, right? We have to be imparting. We have to be doing. The gospel is more than just Sunday services and small groups. The gospel is bigger than what we can contain in four walls, right? Sunday services are amazing. You need that charge up. Small groups, you absolutely need. Plug, if you have not gotten in one, you should be. But what we do outside of the four walls are even more important, because this is how we take what's been deposited on the inside of us and we make something great happen in the world. The problem is, a lot of times we love the comfort of the four walls. We like our nice, comfortable seats, how we get imparted into, and then we forget how we were once that person in the world who needed also to be reached. And Jesus said this, and the man, you know, when he saw Jesus, he instantly wanted to get into that confinement. Let me just come on in there with you, Jesus, right? In verse 18, it says, as Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him, but Jesus said no. In other words, we shouldn't desire to just always go with Jesus. Sometimes we should want Jesus to go with us, right? We need to understand that getting out of the four walls are important. The second thing is that we value the power of personal testimony. We talk about how you change the world. You get out and you do something, but you also utilize what God has brought you out of in order to make change. It gives him glory, right? A personal testimony truly has power to change the world. And here's what the enemy will do. The enemy will cause you to be so embarrassed by what God brought you out of that you miss the blessing of the ministry that God has placed in you. The ability to overcome it has given you the ability to help somebody else too. So don't be embarrassed about what God brought you out of. Tell your story. Find the people who need to be reached with what you have to say. You do not need a stage to preach the gospel. You know, sometimes God calls somebody to preach and they think instantly, I got to be on the stage. Some of you, he might have called you to preach in the supermarket. Right? We don't always have to have a stage. What you need to understand is truly, if you are living this out the right way, you are on stage every day. So utilize the places God has called you into. Go be effective. And when God wants to elevate your stage, he will do it. Don't try to get too comfortable hanging out with Christ. And even this, I want to say this. Don't even just get comfortable hanging out with believers. We need to be around believers because we need to be strengthened and encouraged. But if you never spend time with unbelievers, you are not putting yourself in a position to make a difference. And so, and it's literally, I'd be like, what Bible are y'all reading? Because it's in the Bible, like Jesus spent so much time with unbelievers. But then we go throughout our life and we like, oh no, if you ain't this, I can't be around you. Okay. Today be looking like, and I don't want to be around you either. You're weird, okay? So you need to understand the value in making sure that you're developing relationships. I will always have people in my life who question their faith in God. I keep people in my life like that. Many times they end up moving on over. They always start like this. This is how the conversation starts. I'm not really religious. And I respond, me neither. Then they always look like, I don't understand. You're a pastor. What I'm teaching them is, I have a relationship with God. See, when I think about religion, I get parked in rules and rituals and systems and structures and some things that God didn't even say in the Word, because you taught me that on the first Sunday I must do this, and on the second Sunday, and if I say this just like this, the relationship teaches you how to be fluid with God. Relationships in the natural are fluid. They keep moving. So why do we expect the relationship with God to look ritualistic? After the ritual is done in marriage, of establishing the covenant at the wedding, baby, you better have a relationship that's going. But we're created in the image of who? It's so crazy that we expect things in our human relationships, but then we do crazy things with God. I wake up in the morning and I say my prayer just like this every time. And God be like, bless your heart. We could talk about something else today. Listen, I have a fluid relationship with God. I went off on God 2 weeks ago. I did. I went off on God. I was having a hard day. I have a leader that's kind of coming in my life. And so I was telling some God about some things about, and if this, then this, and this, and I'm going off, and you need to make sure you need. And within 5 minutes, everything I told God, he made it happen. I said, okay. And he was about like, shut up, okay? Now don't you ever challenge me again. But he know that I'm going to do it. A fluid relationship with God, I know that I could be like that. Sometimes I be frustrated. I don't always go to God just crying and wailing to him, and you are so sovereign and mighty. No, sometimes I go and say, why have you not fixed this yet? I'm tired. I done got all the way over to that, the third point. Somebody needed to hear that with your little ritualistic relationship with God. The third thing, we value global and local missions. So we believe God has called us to make impact here, and we believe God has called us to make impact abroad, right? We have a team of people that in the next, I think, 2.5 weeks will be heading to Honduras to do work that we're doing abroad. And guess what? We're not going in there like, we are the big, mighty Americans coming to fix everything. No, we found a church there that's already doing work, and we said, hey, how can we come and serve here and strengthen what you're doing? We're there to make impact alongside of, right? We're going to Haiti for the first time this year. Is that in November, I think? October? So we're going to two places this year. We're cutting up, all right? All right? We're going there. But then also, we are busy doing things in the local community, right? I mean, there's no limits to what we can do. We're involved in so many things. Mother's Day, we help to bail our mothers so they can be home with their children for Mother's Day. Like, we are out here doing work. As a matter of fact, our whole goal is in the city that you can't go to nothing and not see us. Somebody is there. If it's something that's going to move the city, we there. Somebody's in the room. So we value these things. It's important. And the final thing is, we value cultivating areas to receive his kingdom. The same people that begged Christ to leave now want him to come back. If you look in the scripture, in Mark the 5th chapter, it says, so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. You know, initially, these were not the people that were celebrating Jesus, right? Some places you got to go cultivate and do some work to prepare them to receive. There are people that are bitter by church experiences. There are people that are bitter because their revelation of who Christ is what somebody did to them, right? And so there are places, and then there are regions, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places. When principalities establish themselves somewhere, sometimes you have to do some work just to uproot all of that to get ready for the deposit of what God desires to do. But we believe God has called us to cultivate. So it begins, you know, a lot of times for us, and I'll say this, and I want to do this example for time's sake. You know, I do believe this. If we're going to change the world abroad, we do have to change our community locally. I think a lot of times churches, they're doing one or the other and not realizing we're called to do both. Sometimes we're sending a lot of people abroad, but then something happens in our community and we don't plug into that, right? Or we do the same things. We're going to give out water today. I'm not saying that people don't need water on a hot day. But there are like systems and structures, and they are disadvantaged people. There are people still victims of sex trafficking, and there are all things that are, these things are going on in our community that I promise you people would love if you would get them out of that situation. Those mothers that we got out of jail on Mother's Day so they could be home with their kids, you think they appreciated that? Yeah. All right. Now, if I'm hot on a hot day, give me some water. That's great. But I'm saying as a church, I believe that God has called us to do more. I believe that if you have felt yourself being inactive, then you're not fully fulfilling your purpose. That God has called you to do more. Now, I want to do this as an example. It's going to work kind of, not all the way because it won't get super dark in here. But can you turn the lights up? Keisha, turn the lights on. Yeah, turn the, yeah, there we go. Yeah. All right. It's not all the way as dark as I want it to be, but it's going to work. I want you to pull out your phones. Some of y'all are like, are we at a Beyonce concert? No, we're not. But I want you to see how in a room, this level of darkness, how we can instantly start transforming it one by one when we light it up. We light it up. We light it up. You got your phone, light it up, 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 light it up. There you go, there you go. Y'all are fast, y'all are fast. It transforms a room. One at a time. Each person, I wish I could get it all the way black in here. It'd just be too much for us to do it. But when we do this, then we take something that was ordinarily dark, right? And we bring new light into it. I believe that God has called you in the room, each and every one of you in the room, that there are places that God has called you to that they are experiencing darkness, whether that is in your neighborhood, whether that is on your job, whether that's your family. Some of your loved ones need you to light it up. And being called as a church to not only find family, not only discover purpose, but to take that purpose and go out and change the world, it looks like us each taking our light and lighting it up. Turn the lights back on. God doesn't want us to just be inactive. God did not create you to be inactive, but God created you to do something significant. The enemy's job is to try to tell you why you don't have the capacity. Our job as a church is to help you to discover that capacity and to push you to utilize it. Stand to your feet all over this place.